Bless them. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 304, stanzas 1, 6, and 7. O give the Lord wholehearted praise. To him thanksgiving I will bring. With all his people I will raise my voice and of his glory sing. 1, 6, and 7 of 304.
Thank you. scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the book of Judges, and thereof chapter 8. But first, we read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Judges chapter 8. And the men of Ephraim said unto him, Why hast thou served us thus, that thou callest us not when thou wentest to fight with the Midianites? And they did chide with him sharply. And he said unto them, What have I done now in comparison of you? Is not the gleaning of the grapes of Ephraim better than the vintage of Abiezer? God hath delivered into your hands the princes of Midian, Oreb and Zeeb. And what was I able to do in comparison of you? Then their anger was abated toward him when he had said that. And Gideon came to Jordan and passed over, he and the 300 men that were with him, faint, yet pursuing them. And he said unto the men of Succoth, Give, I pray you, loaves of bread unto the people that follow me, for they be faint, and I am pursuing after Zeba and Zalmunna, kings of Midian. And the princes of Succoth said, Are the hands of Zeba and Zalmunna now in thine hand, that we should give bread unto thine army? And Gideon said, Therefore, when the Lord hath delivered Zeba and Zalmunna into mine hand, then I will tear your flesh with the thorns of the wilderness and with briars. And he went up thence to Penuel and spake unto them likewise, and the men of Penuel answered him as the men of Succoth had answered him. And he spake also unto the men of Penuel, saying, When I come again in peace, I will break down this tower. Now Zeba and Zalmunna were in Karkor, and their hosts with them, about 15,000 men, all that were left of all the hosts of the children of the east. For there fell 120,000 men that drew sword. And Gideon went up by the way of them that dwelt in tents on the east of Nobah and Jogbehad, and smote the host, for the host was secure. And when Zeba and Zalmunna fled, he pursued after them and took the two kings of Midian, Zeba and Zalmunna, and discomfited all the host. And Gideon the son of Joash returned from battle before the sun was up, and caught a young man of the men of Succoth, and inquired of him, and he described unto him the princes of Succoth and the elders thereof, even 70 men. And he came unto the men of Succoth and said, Behold, Zeba and Zalmunna, with whom ye did upbraid me, saying, Are the hands of Zeba and Zalmunna now in thine hand, that we should give bread unto thy men that are weary? And he took the elders of the city and thorns of the wilderness and briars, and with them he taught the men of Succoth. And he beat down the tower of Penuel and slew the men of the city. Then said he unto Zeba and Zalmunna, What manner of men were they whom ye slew at Tabor? And they answered, As thou art, so were they. Each one resembled the children of a king. And he said, They were my brethren, even the sons of my mother. As the Lord liveth, if ye had saved them alive, I would not slay you. And he said unto them, Jether, his firstborn, up and slay them. But the youth drew not his sword, for he feared, because he was yet a youth. Then Ziba and Zalmunna said, Rise thou and fall upon us. For as the man is, so is his strength. And Gideon arose and slew Ziba and Zalmunna, and took away the ornaments that there were on their camels' necks. Then the men of Israel said unto Gideon, Rule thou over us, both thou and thy son's son also, for thou hast delivered us from the hand of Midian. And Gideon said unto them, I will not rule over you, neither shall my son rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you. And Gideon said unto them, I would desire a request of you, that you would give me every man the earrings of his prey. For they had golden earrings, because they were Ishmaelites. And they answered, We will willingly give them. And they spread a garment and did cast therein every man the earrings of his prey. And the weight of the golden earrings that he requested was 1,700 shekels of gold, beside ornaments and collars and purple raiment that was on the kings of Midian, and beside the chains that were about their camels' necks. And Gideon made an ephod thereof, and put it in his city, even in Ophrah. And all Israel went thither, a whoring after it, which thing became a snare unto Gideon and to his house. Thus was Midian subdued before the children of Israel, so that they lifted up their heads no more, and the country was in quietness 40 years in the days of Gideon. And Jerubbaal, the son of Joash, went and dwelt in his own house. And Gideon had 70 sons of his body begotten, for he had many wives. And his concubine that was in Shechem, she also bare him a son, whose name he called Abimelech. And Gideon, the son of Joash, died in a good old age, and was buried in the sepulchre of Joash, his father, in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. And it came to pass, as soon as Gideon was dead, that the children of Israel turned again, and went a whoring after Balaam, and made Baal Beareth their god. And the children of Israel remembered not the Lord their God, who had delivered them out of the hands of all their enemies on every side. Neither showed they kindness to the house of Jerubbaal, namely Gideon, according to all the goodness which he had showed unto Israel. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, thou who dwellest in the midst of the cherubims and the seraphims, thou who dwellest in the midst of great glory and light, thou who dwellest as King over the whole universe, and in a special way over thy own Zion, thy own people. Oh, we have a great privilege that we may come up to thy house of prayer, and that we may hear what thou hast to say unto us. Oh, that we may never take this blessing for granted, for so many are without it in the midst of this world, who have not thy word, as we have heard also in the week gone by, when many Bibles are being sent unto the nations of this world, to those who do live in deprived circumstances, for the needs of the body, but especially for the needs of the soul, where Satan is at enmity with thee, and he seeks to extend his kingdom unto the time, and that thou wilt come again to judge the quick and the dead, and so that many are deceived in the midst of this world, and many born in places where their ignorance in their birth will extend even unto their death, and that they know not thee nor their own selves, and they know not from where all the misery in this world has come, and they know not the origins of that misery, and they know not their iniquity, and because the understanding is so darkened, and they have not thy holy law, but they know that they must appear before thee, for they have a conscience also as we, but they know not how to return unto God their Maker. Oh, remember them in the days in which we live, where knowledge is increased according to thy holy word, in the end of the world where many run to and fro, but thy word also will go to all the ends of the earth, and then shall the end come. Oh, that thou may look on them, but look on us also, who are so greatly privileged and live in times of peace and prosperity, but who say, eat and drink and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Oh, we have by nature no concern for thee or for the need of our soul. Lord, we must be born again. We have a religion, but we have not truth in our hearts, unless thou givest us a new heart, a heart of flesh. Oh, come then, and bless thou the means that thou dost give unto us and unto our dear children, and that we may learn to bow before thee in truth and in uprightness, and that we may learn also to acknowledge thee as a Mephibosheth of old. And what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Oh, then thou gettest the honor and the glory from those who do experience and feel the greatness of their unworthiness, and who remain in their life lame on both their feet, and yet are fed at the king's table. Lord, thou knowest where they are, also in the midst of us, that may receive by moments a little crumb, as a dog from the table of the king. Oh, that thou may remember them also in this day, that thou may feed thy people, Lord. We know not where they are, we know not who they are, but thou knowest all of thine own sheep, and thou callest thy own sheep by name. Remember and increase their number within the midst of the congregation, and over the length and over the breadth of this whole world. Remember to that end, and the mission fields and all that labor upon them. And wilt thou care for them with their families? And wilt thou bless thy word and extend thy kingdom? Remember also the established churches. We think also of those churches that are vacant, those that had to receive a decline to the call that was sent unto us. Lord, remember them also. And wilt thou care for them and visit them with a token from above, thou great shepherd of thy sheep, that they also may feel and experience something of thy goodness, of thy nearness, and of thy grace. Do increase the number of thy truly sent servants in the midst of this world. Do send them forth, that also there may be instruction in the midst of the churches. And wilt thou look on us also, give us wisdom, give us grace, give us thy Spirit in a rich measure. Oh, give to us that faithfulness and thou didst give unto Gideon of old, when he did put to death those two kings, Zeba and Zalmunna, pictures of iniquity and sin. And thou didst give him the victory over them. And he, in his faithfulness, did not spare them, but did put them to death. They had slain his own brothers. O sin, and that does slay its thousands in the midst of this world. And when thou hast put it away by thy dear and only begotten Son with great power, who did give his own blood in that warfare, even unto death. Oh, that thy people would have no mercy with sin in their life, and that they may hate it with a terrible hatred, and that they may put it away from them in heart and in life together. Oh, give us to love thee and thy holy law. Do bless thy word to that end in the midst of the flock, to parents, to children, to the rising generation, Lord, that thou may give an increase in the number of thy true people, and give that also those that are young may love and fear thee while they are still young, that they may give their young bones to thee, and that they may never be sorry for this all through life and all through eternity. For our sin will find us out. Oh, that we may seek for the forgiveness thereof, and that thou mayest wash and cleanse us in that precious and all-atoning blood of thy dear Son. Wilt thou help us to continue the labors of our hands in the midst of this our flock, to whom thou hast sent us many years ago now already, Lord, that thou may continue to give what is necessary that we may serve them, and that thou may bless the labors of our hands, and that thou may sanctify thy holy word. Wilt thou care for the sick, the afflicted ones, those that have become old, also even under thy holy word, and the fears that can come upon them when old age does creep up so very quickly, and when then death does stand before that door. O Lord, that thou may remember them, and that thou may give them a cry even in old age, for that it is not yet too late. Remember the widows of the congregation in loneliness, in solitude, that thou may be near and visit them from up above, from on high, with a divine visit, and that thou may supply for all the needy, for mind and body alike. For thou knowest the cares, the concerns, the weights, and it is all a consequence of our sin, that we may feel it, that we may flee from it, and that we may desire, that we may be rid of it for its own sake and for thy great name's sake. Do look on us as a consistory, give us wisdom and strength continually, to do the labors of our hands in the midst of our flock. Care for us in visiting the families, in instructing in catechism, in confession classes, and in all the labors that are necessary in the midst of our flock. Remember those where there are difficulties in marriages. O Lord, do give love one for the other, as thou hast said it was from the beginning. Oh, that thou may heal what man cannot heal, for thou art able to break the hearts that are hard and stony. And when men may experience it in this way, then it may so bring in love to one another. Wilt thou care for all that are afflicted, all those that suffer from addictions, and those that have been abused, and those that have abused. Lord, remember in thy mercy, and wilt thou give us to depart from all iniquity, also from that great and filthy sin of adultery, which is living in the midst of this world, but also so often in the midst of the church, when Satan does lure with all his temptations. O Lord, give us that cleanliness of mind, of speech, and of body, that we may live holily before thee, whether it be in holy wedlock or in single life. And wilt thou care for us as a congregation in thy mercy also in this hour? Be thou in the midst of us, oh, that thou wouldst come as one that serveth to grant us an undeserved blessing from above. Take it out of those storehouses of Joseph which are full, and give it unto those who live in famine and who have nothing to eat. Remember us and help us to bring it forth as thou alone art able to do, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 251. All the stanzas, it is good to sing thy praises and to thank thee, O Most High, showing forth thy loving kindness when the morning lights the sky. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 251. Thank you. beloved congregation. Paul said to the Romans, "They are not all Israel which are of Israel." We heard a little of that in this morning hour. What did he do? He made a distinction between the visible church and the invisible church. Those, he said, are not the same thing. Thus, there are many that are in the visible church who are not in the invisible church. There are many that do come to the outward church who remain all their life unconverted. We may have a religion outwardly in this life, and yet never spend eternity with God. That is a solemn consideration for each and every one of us who also have a religion. And what is now more important in our life? But how much consideration do we give to whether or not we are a member of that invisible church of God? It is our solemn obligation as a minister of the word that we will lay out for you the marks of grace, the marks that belong unto that living church. Christ did that too. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness." Do you ever find those marks? The smallest of the marks laid out in the Word, living in your own heart. But there are also marks that belong unto those who are without grace. Peter said to the Simon the sorcerer, "I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity." "I perceive that," he said. How did he perceive that? Well, then there were certain marks that he did see. Did you ever see them? Did you ever see them, notice them in your own heart, in your own life, to say that I feel something of those bonds, the bonds of iniquity? Were those bonds of iniquity ever a burden unto you? That is now the first thing we need to know in our life. Not, young people, that we are converted, because we hear that sometimes. The first thing that we hear is, and that a young man, he says, "I believe that I am converted. I believe that the Lord, he has begun with me." But that is not the first thing we need to know in our life. The first thing we need to know is that we are unconverted. The first thing that we need to know is that we have sinned and are a sinner before a holy and a righteous God. How can we know those things? Well, we can hear. We can hear some of those marks sometimes laid out of that true church of God. And then we can say, "Oh, I miss those marks." Then we can hear sometimes the marks of those who are without grace. And we can say, "That is me." That is not nice for our flesh, but it is profitable and it is necessary for our soul, that we may cry out and that we may receive the deliverance of the Lord. Our text for this afternoon hour can be found in Judges 8, thereof verses 33 to 35. Judges 8, verses 33 to 35. And it came to pass, as soon as Gideon was dead, that the children of Israel turned again and went a whoring after Balaam and made Baal-beareth their god. And the children of Israel remembered not the Lord their God, who had delivered them out of the hands of all their enemies on every side. Neither showed they kindness to the house of Jerubbaal, namely Gideon, according to all the goodness which he had showed unto them. So far, the word of God. Ingratitude in Israel. First, after the death of Gideon, and second, during the life of Gideon. Ingratitude in Israel, first, after the death of Gideon, and second, during the life of Gideon. Ingratitude, what is that? And the children of Israel remembered not the Lord their God. That is ingratitude. Who had delivered them out of all the hands of all their enemies on every side. Neither showed they kindness to the house of Jerubbaal, namely Gideon, according to all the goodness which he had showed unto Israel. Ingratitude. Is that important? What do you think, children? Is that important? Gratitude? You know, we have a Heidelberg Catechism, right? And the Heidelberg Catechism says that there are three things that we need to know, that we need to experience. We don't need to know them only in our mind. We need to experience them in our heart. Three things. In order that we may live in happiness and die in peace. And what are they? That is the knowledge of misery, deliverance, and gratitude. Thus, we need to know that not only our misery, not only deliverance, but we also need to have experienced in our life what gratitude, true gratitude is. What is gratitude? That is the work of the redeemed. That is the work of God's children. It is the eternal work of the true church of God. Gratitude, that is it in which eternal life actually consists, and it manifests itself, because gratitude is in the heart, and so it manifests itself by coming out. In what? Well, we read that they sing. They sing the song of Moses and the Lamb. Where does that begin? Not there. Not in heaven. No, it begins here on the earth. Thus, gratitude is a mark. It is a mark of the true church of God that they do experience within themselves, within their own heart. The Lord teaches His people how to sing. How to sing. You like to sing, children? I like to hear you sing. Do you like to sing? But do you sing also from your heart? Do you read the words when you sing? And those words that you sing, Did that ever make your heart truly to sing unto the Lord? Ask for that. That is what you ask for. You ask for a new heart, and a new heart that will begin to sing unto the Lord, because that is the work of God's true people. Not only to sing, but that makes itself manifest, gratitude that makes itself, it manifests itself in something else. That is what? Obedience. Because when you love your mother and father and you are thankful to them, then you also obey them. And that is now the same with the Lord. When the Lord put His love in the hearts of His people, then they want to obey. Then they want to do according to His holy word. Thus, if now gratitude is a mark of grace, then ingratitude is just the opposite. Ingratitude is a mark of the natural man. Ingratitude is a mark of what is living within a person as he has been born, as he is a son of his father Adam. That is now a mark in which we must examine ourselves. Which one now is lying within our heart? Because that ingratitude that exists in the heart of a man despite religion, despite much religion. We read here about Gideon's death. After Gideon judged Israel for 40 years, and we know they came back from the war, and when they came back from the war, then the men of Israel said to Gideon, "Rule over us." So they wanted Gideon to be their king. And what did Gideon say? He refused. Gideon was not a man of sinful ambition. He did not seek a place that God did not give unto him. He only sought to do and to fulfill that place that God had assigned to him. Those men of Israel, they said to him, "Thou hast delivered us into the hand, from the hand of Midian." That is not true. That is not true. And Gideon knew it was not true. He felt in himself that that was not true. "I have not done anything to deliver this people. I am but a weak man." That is what he had said unto the Lord when the Lord called him to his work. Oh, Gideon felt that so keenly in his heart. He knew that the Lord had delivered Midian into the hand of his people. And the Lord had delivered his people from the hand of their enemy. And Gideon did not feel worthy of any kind of a special reward for himself, for his children. Do you know what he wanted? He desired that the Lord would get the honor. What a faithful man, wasn't he? Oh, that is an uncommon faithfulness. He desired that the children of Israel would now turn from their wickedness, and that they would now in true gratitude return again into that true service of the Lord. It is an uncommon humility, even for God's children. It is grace that is coming out in that life of Gideon. "I will not rule over you. Neither shall my son rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you." Were they just words then? No, they were not just words. Because they are also turned into actions. Because what do we read? We read that Gideon went and dwelt in his own house, to be, as it were, a private man. Of course, from there, he did judge Israel for 40 years. And then he died. Then he died. Every promotion, every office that will one day be laid down, then it will not continue. The priesthood we read of that Old Testament, that did not continue by reason of death. And there was one priest, and then there was another priest, and so on. But we read Paul speaks about the everlasting priesthood, that one never stops. But Gideon, he will have to give an answer unto the Lord, as every office bearer will have to do, every magistrate, every father at the head of his household, every mother. Then we will have to give an answer to the Lord, what we have done with the authority that was placed upon us. And our subjects, our children, they also will give an account of what they have done under that authority. And it seemed now like those men of Israel were very grateful to the Lord. It seemed like they were very grateful to Gideon. When they say to Gideon, well, thou hast now delivered us, so wilt thou now rule over us. They offered him the kingdom. But then we see how short-lived that this gratitude was. There are so many in this world that do sing the praises of the Lord, but it is very short. And the Lord Jesus, he speaks about that. He speaks about those who do come up, that seed that comes up quickly, that does not have depth of earth, that seed that is coming up quickly. And it is not lasting a long time. Or that can also be seen here. Because now the truth of gratitude that becomes evident, whether that gratitude is true or not, that becomes evident how? It becomes evident in the fruits. It becomes evident in our life. And what do we read? And it came to pass, as soon as Gideon was dead, that the children of Israel turned again and went to whoring after Balaam and made Baal-berith their god. Thus the presence of Gideon was a restraint unto Israel. His presence. But his presence did not convert Israel. It did not change the heart of one person. Because a man cannot do that. And that people can be greatly restrained and their heart remain the same. Thus, reformation is not regeneration. And now in gratitude to God, that is very common in the world. Because we do not see him, children. And we do not have that impression that all that we receive is out of his hand. And so that ingratitude to God that is so common in all of our hearts, there are so many things that we take so for granted. But now our fellow man, in gratitude to our fellow man, all that is not as bad as ingratitude to God, and yet it is more reprehensible. Why? Because we see him. Because we know him as our fellow man. And then to be ungrateful unto him, that is now bringing out, it is evidence of the greatness of the wickedness that can live in the heart of a man. And then we read that in those further chapters here, how Abimelech, that son of Gideon's concubine, slew his brethren. You can read that, young people, in the further chapters. Abimelech was the son of the concubine. And he wanted to rule. He asked the Shechemites. that he would be king over them. And they said, yes, be king over us. And he slew 70 of his brothers, half-brothers, upon one stone. Oh, the Lord, he judged them. He judged Abimelech later. He judged the men of Shechem. Do you know what he did? He made them fight amongst each other. He sent an evil spirit that they began to quarrel with one another. And then the Lord, he slew all of them together. Oh, the Lord, he brought that evil to judgment. But now there is something else, because when these men of Shechem, after he had slain all those brothers, they made him king. They set him up to be their king. And the Lord judged it, that is true. But we do not read that the men of Israel said anything. You do not read that all the tribes of Israel have taken that wickedness and that they have opposed what these men of Shechem have done. Oh, that ingratitude to Gideon. These were the sons of Gideon, the family of Gideon, that was completely destroyed, as it were. That ingratitude towards Gideon, that ingratitude towards the Lord, that has reached a very, very great height in Israel. And the Lord wrote it in his word, with a pen, as it were, of iron, the sin of his people, for the whole world to read, to the shame of his people, even unto this day. Oh, it is always such a sad thing, isn't it, to come to the end of the life of Gideon and all that Gideon has done for that people, and then to see what has happened at the end of Gideon's life. Oh, how surprisingly, how quickly, how suddenly those 40 years of peace have come to an end. Because that is what we read. What will now happen, fathers and mothers, after you have for many years brought up your children? And you have instructed your children with great pains and with the love of all your heart. What is going to happen, young people, after your mother and your father, with all the love of their heart and with all their energy, they have taught, they have instructed, they have warned, they have pleaded maybe with you, and after 20 years, you depart from it all. You go your own way. You say, I want nothing to do with it anymore. Oh, you understand then what is living in the heart of your father and the heart of your mother. And the Lord knows that too. The Lord knows that too. Oh, the Lord has given us such privileges when he has brought us under his truth. And then there is no excuse for us. No excuse for us that we do depart from those ways of the Lord. Also that we do not join ourselves when we are come to the years of discretion with the love of our heart because of the goodness of the Lord unto his own people. Oh, how will it be when you come to the end? Maybe teachers, you come to the end of your year. You come to the end maybe of your career. And when you have spent so much time and so much energy and you have put into it all the desires of your heart for those young people. And then when you see that the one goes this way, and then the one goes that way, and what a disappointment and that is to you. Oh, what happens also when the end of a minister's labors come there, and when he must see his congregation. And that was as it was in the days of Gideon, 40 years. That is actually not a long time. Not a long time. He would say two generations of men. That goes by very, very quickly. Oh, then does it surprise? Should it surprise us? Should it surprise us when we look at Israel? We say that Israel, after the death of Gideon, and we see the way that they have gone, should it surprise us that they have turned so quickly out of the way? Should not surprise us. And why should that not surprise us? Because we see the ingratitude not only after he died, but we see that mark while he lived. That is our second thought. The Midianitish army that was routed by the sword of the Lord and by Gideon. The Ephraimites, the men of Asher and of Naphtali, they are called back. And that enemy that has flown, and the Ephraimites, they are south now of Manasseh. And they are also called that they may stop the flight of that enemy. And they come, and we read, they take the waters of Bethbara and Jordan. They take the two princes of the Midianites, Oreb and Zeb, and they pursue Midian. And they come back. And then what do? We read, they begin to chide with Gideon. Why hast thou served us thus, that thou calledst us not when thou wentest to fight with the Midianites? And they did chide with him sharply. All these Ephraimites, they are insulted. And why are they insulted? Because they do not get the honor. What tribe is Gideon from? He is from the tribe of Manasseh. And you know, children, Manasseh and Ephraim, they are what? They are brothers. They are both the sons of who? Say they are the sons of Joseph. And who was older? Say Manasseh was older. Right? But then Jacob, he gave a blessing. And what did Jacob do? And he gave the blessing. He went like this. And he put his right hand on Ephraim's head, and he put his left hand on Manasseh's head. And Joseph said, no, that should be the other. No, he says, I know it, my son. But Ephraim, the younger one, he is going to have the preeminence. Oh, that boy knew that. He knew that. And when he grew up, oh, he became very proud that he was going to be greater than his older brother. You proud too, children, young people? And do you have such quarrels also in the midst of you, who will be the greatest? Because we read that often. Isaiah speaks about the crown of the pride of Ephraim. Or Ephraim, the tribe of Ephraim, that was a very proud tribe, thus it has gone from a single man into his posterity. Oh, do we understand that, parents? Oh, when that pride is living in our hearts, and the way we are speaking to our children, oh, then our children can also become so proud that they are just a little better and then other children, and that we are just a little above another family. That's the way it was. Then there was jealousy between these two tribes. Now Ephraim comes back, and Ephraim begins to chide with Gideon, who is from the tribe of Manasseh. So why did you not call us to lead in the battle? We could go first, and we could get the glory. But they knew about this battle. Oh, that is not honest at all, because they did not give themselves when Gideon was gathering an army and when Gideon has sent out messengers. No, when that danger was there, oh, then they said, well, we will wait and see. But as soon now as that victory has come, oh, then those Ephraimites, then they come back and they do want the glory. Oh, that was not honest. That was not upright. And neither were they thankful. Oh, do you hear it? The gratitude for the deliverance of God's people. Where is it now? Is that a people like Mephibosheth, who bowed and said, what is thy servant? No. Congregation, these Ephraimites are for us a picture. They portray something. They portray the reaction of the natural heart to the deliverance by the Lord Jesus Christ of his church. There is a natural enmity that is living in our hearts, in mankind, a natural enmity toward the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what now is that natural enmity? It is that I don't get the glory. That is proud man after the fall. That is proud man with all his profession. That is proud man with all his religion. The Ephraimites were also religious people. Oh, that proud man, he cannot bring forth a song of gratitude. That is the evidence of his sinfulness. And now that is what changes. We say we need a new heart. We say we need regeneration. That is what we need. And this is now what changes. When a man loses his strength for that warfare, do you know God's people? They learn why that they are not called to lead in that battle. And a battle against sin. Oh, they learn why they cannot be called. Oh, they learn that they are weak for that warfare. They learn that they are unfaithful in that warfare. Oh, they come to know why that they cannot lead. They come to know why that they only can be asked now to gather that spoil. Oh, they have no power against that enemy until that enemy is routed by Christ himself. Oh, then that credit. Oh, that credit that is not their own. But do you know that people, they are so glad with that. They are so happy with that. Oh, they say that is so right. That is so good. And in that place, oh, they desire that he may be magnified to all eternity. Then they begin to sing. They begin to sing here below with gratitude in their heart. That is experience. That is that third mark. Let us sing. 280. 280 stanzas 1 and 2. O my soul, bless thou Jehovah. All within me, bless his name. Bless Jehovah and forget not all his mercies to proclaim. 1 and 2 of 280. And Gideon came to Jordan and passed over, he and the 300 men that were with him, faint yet pursuing them. And he said unto the men of Succoth, give, I pray you, loaves of bread unto the people that follow me, for they be faint, and I am pursuing after Zeba and Zalmunna, kings of Midian. And the princes of Succoth said, "Are the hands of Zeba and Zalmunna now in thine hand, that we should give bread unto thine army?" We read the same that was answered unto the men of Penuel. These are two cities on the other side of the Jordan. These were two cities that lay in the inheritance of the tribe of Gad. What a great wickedness. They were not asked to join them in the fight. They were not asked to go along with them. They were only asked to give them a little bread because their brethren were faint. And what war were they fighting? They were fighting the war of God, of the Lord. Are there those that fight in that church militant? The war of the Lord, and are sometimes faint in that warfare? And now, these men of Succoth, Penuel, there is no fear of God before their eyes. They have a profession, yes. But they show themselves enemies. Enemies of the Lord and enemies of His true people. Oh, that grief that God's people did have in Israel at that time. That was not their grief. No, the deliverance that Israel has now received, that was not a relief unto these men of Succoth. There is no desire that lives in their heart. There is no faith that lives in their heart. They do not recognize that what the Lord is doing here, that it is His hand in the restoration of His own people. They are not convinced that that enemy that is already in the hand of Gideon by the promise of the Lord, they do not receive that promise of the Lord by faith. And what do they fear? Oh, they fear Zeba and Zalmunna. What happens if you never get them? And they come this way again. And we are now on the borders, as it were. And we are now subject and afraid of them. If they will hear that we are feeding their enemies. Oh, should it surprise us that the children of Israel departed now from that service of the Lord after the death of Gideon, when we see what marks were missing in the midst of Israel during the very life of Gideon? Gideon taught, we read, the men of Succoth, with briars and thorns of the wilderness, when he returned after the victory of the Lord, when the Lord has given unto his people according to his own promise, then he may say unto these men of Succoth and of Penuel, here they are now, the enemies of the Lord, and the Lord has done what he has promised, and the Lord is always doing what he has promised. And he taught them, but they were unteachable. Unteachable. That is a mark of who? That is a mark, congregation, of the reprobate. Of the reprobate. Unteachable. 40 years Israel lived in peace. What do we read? Thus was Midian subdued before the children of Israel, so that they lifted up their heads no more, and the country was in quietness 40 years in the days of Gideon. What a blessing. We would say two generations, and they are in quiet and in peace. But how often we turn our blessings into a curse, because Gideon himself, he feared the Lord. He feared the Lord very greatly. But now in those 40 years, Gideon himself was not a very good example to the children of Israel. Why not? Because we read he had many wives. And as he also, we read, he took a concubine. To her, he was not even legally, lawfully married. That is often what times of peace and prosperity do to us. They draw us off into the ways of sin. Or then we can see that they may have been in a better place when we have seen that people before, when they were under oppression, and then when they were crying unto the Lord, Gideon built his house in an unlawful manner. Many sons. But after his death, the Lord took them all away. By his own son of his concubine, slew them. 70 men upon one stone. One of them has escaped. But congregation, that is not all, because we read something else here. And that Gideon, he made an ephod of the golden earrings of his prey, willingly donated by these men of Israel after the war. So what is an ephod? You know that, children, right? An ephod, that was the garment of the priests. The Lord had commanded that they had an ephod over top of their other clothing when they did their official work, and then they had to offer in the tabernacle, and when they did their sacrifice, then they had to wear this coat. It was a very expensive, it was a very beautiful coat. We can read of many pounds of gold from all those golden earrings of their prey, those Ishmaelites. Why did Gideon do that? Gideon did not mean wrong with this. We don't read anything in here that Gideon meant wrong with this. No. He did not set up an evil worship. He did not desire to do that. He desired to set up a monument. You know what lived in Gideon's heart? Gratitude. Gratitude. We heard that last time. How he worshiped the Lord. And that remained now in Gideon's heart. Oh, that gratitude for the deliverance of the Lord. And now he says, let us make an ephod. An ephod. And we will put it in Ophrah. And there it can be that all Israel also. So what lived in the heart of Gideon, he wanted also to live in the heart of everyone. Oh, do you know what that is? The people of the Lord know what that is. Because if you experience the most blessed things that can be experienced in this world, then you desire that everyone would know the same thing. And Gideon, he says, oh, let us all remember now. Let us all keep that in mind, what the Lord now has done unto his people Israel. So he desired a monument, a gesture of gratitude. Gideon had good intentions. But do you know what Gideon did not do? He did not ask the Lord whether he should do this. And it was a very important matter. Why? Because an ephod that belonged to the tabernacle, and that was specifically designed by the Lord himself for his own service. Good intentions are not enough. We can have good intentions, but the worship of the Lord, that is to be done according to the statutes of the Lord. And Gideon, he may not bring in something else beside what the Lord has commanded. No, that is to add unto the word of the Lord. We read that in Isaiah. Then the Lord says, who has commanded you to do this? Who has suggested these things, that you should bring them with your hands. The Lord Jesus said that to the Pharisees. He says, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And we, congregation, are so carnal. The worship of the Lord, that is a worship, especially now in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, there was a certain carnality when they were looking forward to the fulfillment. But that is now taken away in that New Testament. But we are so inclined to what is of the earth, so inclined to what is sensual. Oh, God's people too. But especially if there is nothing spiritual in our heart, if there is no spiritual life in our heart, and then it is all temporal, and then we can also be even so superstitious, and that is what now happened here, over time, slowly over time, and all Israel went a-whoring after. We do not know exactly how that happened. Perhaps in the beginning they came to see. Perhaps in the beginning then it is explained by Gideon. And Gideon is now telling that story over and over to everyone that is coming. And Gideon is saying to them now, oh, let us seek and let us serve the Lord. And then time goes on. And then the explanation goes away. Oh, and then what is it? Then it is more and more. Oh, what a beautiful ephod. It's a golden coat. Oh, it has such worth. It has such a value. Oh, maybe they began even to neglect the tabernacle and the altar that was in Shiloh. They went a-whoring after it. And what do we read? Which thing became a snare unto Gideon and to his house. It became bait for him. It became a temptation for him. He should have put it to a stop. When he saw that it was not going right, then he should have stopped it, but he didn't. Why not? We do not know. Oh, he had many wives. He had many children. Oh, maybe they would not have agreed. We do not know. Oh, God's people. They also have a life to live here below. They also have a heart that is full of flesh that become so lax in watchfulness, in the service of the Lord, weakness in that warfare. So that was in the life of Gideon. Oh, gratitude. What happens? Oh, it begins to wax cold. And then it's seen also in our life. And it came to pass as soon as Gideon was dead, that the children of Israel turned again and went a-whoring after Balaam and made Baal-beereth their god. As soon as Gideon was dead. You said that happened so fast. That happened so fast. No, it did not happen fast at all. In fact, the children of Israel had never left their idolatry. Never left it. They left it in their outward worship, but they never left it in their heart, longing for it. Panting after it, a-whoring after it. Thus it could be known for a long time already. Why? Because the fruits of gratitude, they were not there. They were not there. They were missing. And what is gratitude? It is a necessary mark. Misery, deliverance, and gratitude. That brings us now to us, because we come now to the end of that life of Gideon. There was a remnant in Israel. We heard about them. a remnant in Israel for whom the sin of Israel was a great burden. Did we find ourselves among that people? Gideon was among that people. And the Lord delivered that people, as the Lord will deliver every single one of his own people. Oh, then there was a great humility, a worshiping in the heart of that people. Do we know something of this? That mark that is so necessary, that mark that is so essential to know upon our journey here below, that we may live in comfort and that we may die in peace. But now the greatest part of Israel, they belonged to what? They belonged merely to that visible church. They had an outward profession and no more. And among that people, that mark was missing. That mark was missing. It could be seen in the midst of that people. Oh, is that mark missing now in our life? Now we can examine ourselves before the Lord, before the God of heaven and of earth, as we have heard it out of the life of the children of Israel. Let our heart now be a witness between ourselves and the Lord. And if that is now so, that mark is missing, or if it remains missing, if it remains missing our whole life, should be evident to us. Should be evident to us. And then it should not be a surprise to us what is going to happen at the end of our life. Because that is something that does not happen suddenly then. But then there was no change. And there was no change, though we have listened, though we have heard, though we have known, no change in our whole life. O congregation, Solomon, he says, a prudent man foreseeth the evil, and he hideth himself. He hears the sound of the trumpet, and he is warned. That is personal. A personal matter between our own soul and the Lord. In the time of prosperity, right? That we live in. How many years? We have all the blessings that we could desire. And do we turn them into a curse? Because we are lured. Lured by everything, every temptation that can be found in this world. Oh, congregation, the Lord calls us to seek more than a profession. Three things necessary: misery, deliverance, gratitude. They need to be known. And those that begin to know it here, they shall practice it. Or they shall glorify and magnify Him for that deliverance from their wretchedness, from their misery, from their sin, forever and forever and forever. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, it is but a few words that we can try to stammer about Thee and about us and what we need, who we are, but who Thou art also. Oh, convert us, Lord. Draw us. We will run after Thee. And it is so to Thy glory if Thou wouldest convert us. As a Gideon, as Thy remnant of Israel, who were burdened under all the iniquity and of all the sin of Thy people. Oh, make us so. Deliver us from all our sins. Wash and cleanse us in the blood of Thy dear Son, and give our hearts to be humbled before thee in truth. Bring us safely home. Help us, each one in our place, in the world, in the midst of this world, in this week. When we have to live in the world, may the world not live in our hearts. Draw our hearts to thee. Keep us from a sudden and an unprepared death. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 429:1-4. With all my heart will I record thy praise, O Lord, and exaltation. Before the gods with joyful song will I prolong my adoration. 1, 3, and 4 of Psalter 429. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.